I would recommend that the United States government sue the state of South Dakota for violating the law. Because that is the only entity strong enough to stand up against this Republican establishment down here in Pierre.
That's former U.S. Senator James Aberesk, one of the speakers at the ICWA summit. While representing South Dakota in Congress in 1978, he authored the Indian Child Welfare Act, known as ICWA for short. That act, simply stated, establishes that tribes can take jurisdiction over their own children's welfare cases, and if non-tribal entities, such as the State Department of Social Services, takes custody of Native children, it has to place them in Native homes. The purpose behind this is to keep Indian children in contact with their people, language, religion, and way of being.
Most of the children taken away are from Pine Ridge. I believe we lost about 4,000 of our children in the last few, 15 years. We don't know where they are.
Brian Brewer is president of the Oglala Sioux Tribe. He says children who are taken away sometimes spend their lives in foster care, and they long to return to their home.
They want to come home, they want to know their culture and everything. They want to learn it. They've lost their language. They've lost everything. So, and some of them do very well on the outside. Some of them are placed with some fantastic homes, and they still come home. But many of them aren't. And that's what we're trying to bring to light here, our children that are being raped and things like that.
Children are now talking, and they want to be heard.
Jesse Taken Alive is a councilman from Standing Rock. He recalls two headline cases of sexual abuse involving Native children in South Dakota foster homes. One offender is Ted Clout, convicted in 2007 of raping two foster children during the time he was a state representative. A more recent case is that of Richard Meddy in Brown County, who pleaded guilty to one count of raping a foster child under the age of 10. Both men are currently in prison.
There are plenty of homes out there that are safe for Native children. The family system, the kinship system is there, always has been there for centuries.
People who came forward to testify about the damage done to their families included several grandmothers who had offered to take in their grandchildren but were turned down for reasons unknown to them. These are anecdotal stories, and there is another side to them, but that other side frequently doesn't become public.
What I will say has to be very general because of the confidentiality that is involved in any abuse and neglect case.
Mark Fargo is Pennington County State's attorney. His office handles a heavy abuse and neglect caseload.
I just want to make sure that people understand that the decision to intervene in the family circumstances in an abuse and neglect case is one of the most serious and gut-wrenching that we as prosecutors engage in. We do not take it lightly, and we attempt to use every available resource that we have to ensure that children are kept safe and that families are reunited.
Most cases involving Indian children could move out of state court. ICWA provides that tribes can take jurisdiction of a state case involving tribal children. And tribal leaders say they would like to do that, but they can't afford the systems to support the increased caseload. Hence their wish to get federal money that the state now gets.
The Indian Child Welfare Act is a law that primarily regulates states.
Kevin Washburn is Assistant Secretary for Indian Affairs and one of several federal officials attending the summit. He says BIA doesn't have a lot of power in the situation. Monies for child protective services are channeled through Health and Human Services.
But a few tribes have, or at least one tribe in the United States, has been able to get that money for its reservation directed directly to it so it doesn't go to the state. And that's certainly one possibility when you're trying to think of improvements.
It's a charge of a conscious, intentional violation of ICWA.
Danny Sheehan is director of the Lakota People's Law Project, an organization that has battled the State Department of Social Services for 8 years. He describes the allegations in a lawsuit he has drafted.
Not a mistake. They're just misinterpreting it. They're constantly pushing back and fighting back against the preferential placement.
Sheehan says DSS takes 742 Native children a year on average and places 87% to 92% of them with white families. And he says the department doesn't place children with family members because it applies the same standards to relatives' homes as to foster homes.
Your own grandmother can't take custody of you unless she has a separate bedroom for every child, that she makes a minimum of something like $35,000 a year, that she's gainfully employed, she's never had any kind of a criminal conviction. We've had grandmothers denied custody of their grandchildren because 18 years ago she had a DUI.
If this suit is filed, it will join others currently going through federal courts. Jim Aberesk says the legislative and executive branches have power to address these situations without going to court, but they don't use it.
Is a lawsuit necessary? I mean, could the government right now do what it needs to do in order to...
Well, how else would you do it but bring a lawsuit? They refuse to obey the law that's in effect. And if they don't do that, you bring a lawsuit or take your guns, whatever, you know. Okay. I prefer a lawsuit myself.
Tribes and federal officials have two more days to try to hammer out solutions, but they'll do it without the State Department of Social Services. Officials with the Bureau of Indian Affairs say they extended an invitation, but no DSS representatives showed up. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Victoria Wicks in Rapid City.